You just found the most entertaining Hawkeye podcast in the world on today's show, the Walk-On Sit-Down with Mike Schulte, probably one of the most interesting dudes we've had on the show. He is the drummer for a popular Iowa band called the Pork Tornadoes. He also has a successful podcast, another Iowa bred podcast called The Confused Breakfast. That's all about movie reviews, which helps lead our show tonight. Excited to have this guy on and learn about Mike. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, first guest episode of the year. No cool intro like Drake usually does it. I know people don't like the Kluver intros as much. I'll do my best to play up this guest as I can. I'm sitting here watching the Niners and the Lions take on each other. We've got players on both sides. It's an incredible night. And sitting with us, Grant and myself tonight, drummer for the Pork Tornadoes, podcaster, fellow podcaster on the iHeart Network. Yep. And all around, from what I can tell, we'll see here in the next 60 minutes, interesting guy, does a lot, has a lot going on. Podcast is the Confused Breakfast podcast, all about movies. That will lead tonight's episode a little bit. We're going to end this episode with a top five sports movies, which me and Grant will probably embarrass ourselves in front of Mike, who is a much bigger movie guy than I think both of us combined. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. First of all, I am a huge fan. I love what you guys do. I think it's such a relatable podcast for like Iowa fans in general, just to have the inside information that you have, but yet the way you present it, you're down to earth, feel like we could hang out with you at any point. It's an awesome podcast, and I'm just an honor to be here, man. It's awesome.
I forgot to mention in the intro that he also listens to the show. So that somehow we swooped him into being a listener and a fan of us, which helps. We didn't have to pay him to come on.
Here's what happens when I'm, you know, we can get into this as much as you want, but I'm on the road like every weekend of the fall. I am gigging. I very rarely anymore get to sit down and watch a full Iowa Hawkeye football game. And so other than hearing like Dolph on the radio while I'm driving, I need to hear, like, I need to know what happened and what we thought about it. And that's where you guys come in. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, we do our best. Obviously, you know, you've got the beat reporter sort of writer podcast and they all do their thing. And it's a much more analytical, like black and white sort of analysis. And then you just have us and we come on here and we just tell fans that they're fucking wrong about this and they're wrong about that. And
that's what I want right there.
Yeah, right. And you know, what they were probably thinking on this play, how certain players react to this. So it's done well for us and we have a lot of fun doing it. And we love to basically bridge the gap, exactly what you're talking about. Just entertain Iowa fans. It's crazy that like so you're a rock star basically. And that is a crazy lifestyle. You're doing shows every weekend.
I was just looking at our calendar for 2024. The Pork Tornadoes our calendar's full. We're already booked for the entire year. I think we're going to play about 65 shows in 8 states. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of scary sometimes when you sit there and you look at it and the grandeur of what you're about to embark on. But like, this is everything that any of us ever wanted. And it's just weird that it happened from being in a cover band, but here we are.
Yeah. So funny story, and we can kind of start with the Pork Tornadoes. I would love to know the genesis of it, like who started it, how all the way back to like when you got into music, how early just started drumming as a kid, like 4 years old or what. But also the funny story is I saw you guys play 5 years ago at Bacon Fest.
Checks out. Pork Tornadoes at Bacon Fest.
We're actually there again this year. We just announced it.
And I was with my wife who is my new wife, like right at the time, and her family. And you guys were like in the big hall that was, you know, it's in Des Moines. And they're like, yeah, Pork Tornadoes are here. And we're just, it's obviously the name, right? You get it every time that someone, you know, comes up to you. And it's like, well, that sounds interesting. Let's go check them out. And then we sat there for 2 hours and we're like, holy shit, these guys are awesome. Like, these guys rock. So I'd love to know, like, how did this start? And was this the dream when you were like 16 years old? I want to be a rock star, or like, give me the lowdown on all of it.
Yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing. Here's where I think music and sports intersect quite a bit, because my uncle and I had a conversation about this. Like, every young male has a dream of being an athlete or a musician. Like, those are the rock star things that you can do in your life that makes you famous and makes you money. And, you know, like, I was a pretty good athlete. I was a 4-year varsity soccer starter in high school. I just got out of beer league hockey. I'm 41. I'm still playing hockey. I feel good about my athletic skills. But the thing is like, as you know, eventually you peak in athletics. Like, eventually you hit a point where you're never going to be that good again. And in fact, I'm seeing that in beer league. I used to dominate these old fools in soccer. Like, I'm 22 in indoor soccer, just like, hey, old man, get off our field. And now I'm the old man that these young kids are dominating. And so you can't always be that. And first of all, being an athlete and a musician, like, being the successful version of that is probably the same unbelievable probability of like playing in the NFL versus being in a famous band. It's like, it's impossible. If you think you're going to do that, you're pretty crazy, but
you're wrong. Basically,
you're wrong. It's not going to happen. But here I am, a 10-year-old kid who loves sports, but also my uncle brings me a drum set. He just drops it off at my house one day. I later realized that he's just getting rid of it, but he's like, here, have this, you'll love it. And this is pre YouTube, you know? So I'm watching MTV, seeing how drummers cross their arms. And then I'm listening to my parents' Phil Collins CD. And I'm just learning how I taught myself how to play, and quickly became obsessed. You know, it's that thing, you find your thing, you know, when you're a young kid, and that was my thing. I was obsessed with it, and I played forever. I taught myself how to play, finally got into the world of bands in high school. I had a band in high school, but where it really took off was in college. I had a band that I went to the University of Iowa. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Graduated, took me 5 years, but I made it. Started a band there, and we toured the country a little bit, and I thought this was it. I'm like, we're recording albums, we're touring, we played in like 42 states over the course of a couple years, but it never hit. It just never quite got over that hump. And I'm realizing now how hard this is, right? So I become an adult, I graduate, I quit. I go, that's a kid's game. Like, I'm an adult now, I'm in corporate America. Let's stop playing this music thing. And luckily, about 2 years later, a friend of mine kind of said, hey, why don't we start a cover band? And I was very anti that. I'm like, cover bands, you got to be kidding me. That's old man stuff. But then he said something interesting. He goes, oh, we could probably make like $100 a piece or something like that. I was like, well, hold on a second. There's money involved in this? Okay. And so that moment was a huge catalyst in my life, because it got me rejuvenated with playing music. And like, my love came back, and I realized you can be an adult, and that idea of how I haven't peaked, you know, like, I still haven't peaked. I'm getting better and better at playing music. So he brought me out of that. And then about 3-4 years later, I went up to Cedar Falls and we opened up for a band called the Pork Tornadoes. I was not an original member, but we opened up. Okay. And I remember being like, man, these dudes are like so good, but they just don't have a direction. Like, they don't have a guy that will obsess over it and like will pour his heart into social media and be like, I can build this. So I weaseled my way into the band. I kind of said, let me try to play some drums with you. Luckily their drummer moved away and there was a vacancy, and I said, I'm in. And this is our 16th year. So that was probably 12, 13 years ago. And we just took off playing, man. And the wild thing about the Pork Tornadoes, if you've ever seen us, you understand, like, we take songs that you know and love from the 80s through today, Taylor Swift, Phil Collins, whatever. I mean, the Killers, Kings of Leon, we play these songs, you know, but we make it our own. Like, we'll take a Taylor Swift song and make it this rocked up version. And we didn't set out on that goal. We didn't say, this is what we're going to do, but something along the way made that became our thing. And we just plowed this, I don't know, we just like plowed this way in Iowa. Back then, cover bands were only old men playing Brown Eyed Girl in a corner wearing shorts. And we sort of made this way of like, you can be rock stars. Like you can be awesome and you can put on a good show and you can make good money eventually. And it took us a long time. Don't get me wrong. This took us so many years of the right things happening. Like, you know, a couple viral videos every once in a while. Our Tennessee whiskey covers got like 9 million views now. That was a big catalyst. We performed at the Minnesota Vikings tailgate one year and we called in the drum line. They came and did In the Air Tonight with us. They did that drum, solo.
Wow.
That went viral on online. So we've had these moments, but if you ever come to our show, it's not a cover band. I mean, we are essentially our own entity playing songs, you know, with giant video walls and lights. I mean, I never would have dreamed in a million years that the stuff I've done, the people I've played for would have been because I was in a cover band. I always thought I was going to be a rock star, but you know what? I'm so happy with like how it turned off. Cause I'm going to perceivably do this forever, like with my best friends in the whole world, you know? So it's a wild. And I think about that comparison to sports. Like you only had that many years to do what you did. And then it's over where like I get to keep going. And that's the kind of the crappy part about the sports music comparison is that your sportsdom comes to an end and like mine just keeps going, you know, it's a wild comparison.
Yeah. So much there. Thank you for that backstory. That was perfect.
You tell him a podcaster.
Yeah. Well, I told Grant, I'm like, this should be easy tonight. We have a guest who runs his own podcast. You know, like when I, it's usually with our former teammates or coaches. And so when I send them the link, they're not asking about like, oh, do you need me to like record local video? Like, and Mike's over here asking me like, all the things that a podcaster knows. So he's the best guest we could possibly have on. But that's awesome. I didn't know that you weren't one of the original members. So that's a fun fact. Also, the first thing I took out of all that backstory was a drum set is the most uncle gift that an uncle can give. Cause I'm thinking I just had a baby. She's 13 months old. And I can just imagine one of my brothers getting us like a trumpet or something stupid like that. Like when she's 8 years old, it's just, you know, it's a very uncle thing to do. But then really what I take out of that is, you guys, it sounds like found over time. And it really is this magical like equation that just comes together. And it's like, you wake up and every day, every week, every month, you're just able to keep doing it. And something else clicks a little bit and something else and you gain a little bit more traction here. It was the exact same way this podcast worked. It's like at the beginning, it was just for fun. And we all had something to sustain us in life that we could do this for fun. And then it got to be just past livable or doable on my side of things where it could then become like, okay, I can now take a chance on it. And it sounds very much so like the band. And you're right, your guys' show, not just because he's on the show, but like the Tornadoes rock, dude. Like when you go and see the Pork Tornadoes, it is a show that you want to see. It is unique. I think that's part of why you guys made it too, is because like you said, what kind of cover bands are out there that do it like you guys do? Like it's a unique, fresh thing. And it's sort of how our podcast got popular too. Like there was no players doing this and we just you have there's a little bit of there's a lot of luck involved when you're successful. That's just the reality of it.
It's finding the lane that nobody else has been in and then just crossing your fingers, man, is really what. And to tell you said five six seven years ago, like so much has changed from when you I like kind of cringed when you said 5 6 years ago. I was like, oh, like we probably weren't
it was
good.
Sick. It was still sick back then, dude.
I got tickets for you, by the way, because you're in Des Moines. I'll get you tickets to the upcoming Bacon Fest. You might as well do it again, man.
I would love to. I wanted to know. So you guys have – the Pork Tornadoes have been a thing for, what'd you say, 12?
We're in our 16th year. 16th year.
16th year as a Pork Tornado.
Yeah.
What are the quick backstories of the other three guys that are in it?
Yeah, they're all –
were they all friends before?
Yeah, Northern Iowa. They were UNI kids that just started the band for fun, just like I did in college. Like, whatever. We'll get our buddies together in the bar and we'll have some beers and we'll play some music for them. And that was really all it was. No, they used to change their name every show, which is really not a great idea if you want to like have people follow you. So, and it was always terrible names that they were like swallowers of planets. They were just all these weird names. And they basically said, whatever the next crappy name we come up with, that'll be our permanent one. Full well, never thinking that we'd be a band for 16 years. And so a tornado had hit a pig farm outside of Cedar Falls, and the radio DJ said it was a pork tornado. And they're like, well, that's a terrible name. So that's our new band name. And yeah, they're younger. They're like mid 30s. I'm 41. The keyboard player's 42. But we all just kind of, it's like that. I'm trying to put it always into like sports, cause I'm a sports guy, huge, big sure. time, but it's that, you know, you've got a football team and you just have like the wrong person in one space. And like sure. that ends up being the reason why you didn't get to where you wanted to go. We somehow, the lineup we have right now is just like, we couldn't ask for anything better. It is the perfect storm of people who work hard, who are good at what they do, who have the talent to back it up. And yeah, it's a wild, buddy of mine gave us the best testimony I've ever heard. He said, I don't like Taylor Swift, but if Taylor Swift sounded the way you guys sound, I would be a massive fan. I'm like, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted to hear, man.
Pretty great. Yeah. You're talking about chemistry. Like the chemistry has to be right.
That's it.
And there, you know, people get that confused in sports as well. Like you think, you know, right now as a Hawkeye fandom, obviously the OC got announced today. We're going to talk about that later this week. We won't
wait
spend
it did
time.
I haven't been yeah. on my phone today.
Yeah, so what's his name? Tim Lester. It's not the guy from Duke, it's the guy from
Packers, Western Michigan.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay,
the other guy. So, you know,
well, we don't need to talk about it. I'll let you have the other show for that, but I'm anxious to hear what you got to say about it.
Thoughts already brewing on that. But like as a Hawkeye fandom, we get a already great defense back next year, and you start to think like, oh, so plug and play, like we're going to be great again. Yeah. And it's really actually not that easy. We probably maybe most likely will be great again on defense next year, but it's because this group of defensive players ends up right now as they're back on campus through this phase of lifting and conditioning and then the summer and then camp, it's because they become great together. It's not because this 2023 defense was great and they just, well, we're great because we were great last year. Like it doesn't happen that way. Those 11 or, you know, the two deep on every position of the defense have to become great again as a team because the chemistry is slightly different. You know, all the way down to like the literal analogy of a chemical bond. Like if you take one carbon atom here or one, you know, oxygen molecule here, it becomes a completely different, compound. So that's kind of how it works in sports. But I am curious to know about the Hawkeye fandom side of things. Like, did you grow up on the eastern side of the state whole time? Okay.
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. I lived there for 14 years, and my dad hated him so much at the time, took a new job in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and moved me right before high school Iowa, where I've never been, nor do I care to ever be. Mm-hmm. And we moved to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I go to Cedar Rapids Xavier. That's where I graduated. And I wanted to be, I wanted out. I said, as soon as I graduate high school, I'm out of here, man. And then I said, well, you know, I kind of made some cool friends, but this isn't for me. I'll tell you what, I'll go to Iowa for college, but then I'm going to the coast. I'm a big timer, you know? And dude, what I realized was that I love Iowa. I tried to fight it so much, but like, I love being here. I would never live anywhere else. And I'm so thankful that my dad did take that new job. But I went to the University of Iowa just because it was the closest school. My friends were going there. I didn't have an affiliate. I didn't have like a love for the Hawkeyes. In fact, in St. Louis, dude, we didn't watch football. It was like soccer, hockey, baseball. I never played football. I never held a basketball until I moved to Iowa. Like it just wasn't, the Rams weren't there yet. So it was not a big, pro football was not a big deal. The Mizzou, like some people like Mizzou, but we just didn't really care. We watched like the NFL Monday Night Football just cause, but I never had a favorite team. And then when I come here, everything's Iowa. Oh, Iowa Hawkeye foot. And like, what are we talking about here? You know? And so I go to the school, I set foot on campus. I'm moving into Reno, my freshman year.
Reno, and, let's go.
Oh, dude. Oh, Reno was so great back in 2000. It was just awesome. I fifth floor, baby. But I go to my first Iowa Hawkeye tailgate. And then like the next week I go into the stadium and I'm like, I just fell in love, man. Like I had the time of my life at Iowa, and the, think about the years I was there. Like, 2000 wasn't that great, but then like 2002 comes around and then we got three, we got four, we got five, Drew Tate. We got Nate Kading. It was like one of the greatest living at that school. And like the Capital One Bowl in 2004. I mean, it was wild. I had all kinds of, I was ping pong partners with Abdul Hajj in my PE class. I was Warren Holloway was in my piano class. Like, and so wow. he disappeared for like weeks after the game. Like I didn't see him for a while, but it was like, Warren Holloway was the coolest guy I ever met in my life. And like, I loved every second of being on that campus, and I became an just obsessed Iowa Hawkeye fan after being at that school and being a part of those years on the football field. And what's crazy, so like I said, I never played football, right? But my senior year at Xavier, Coach Schulte, who his son is Quinn Schulte, right?
Yep.
I have no relation to him at all. He came up to me one day, my senior year of high school. We were terrible that year in football, but a couple of my buddies played football, and they said they needed a kicker, and they said, hey, we got a buddy that's a four-year varsity soccer starter, and they said go talk to him. Coach Schulte came up to me and said, we want you to kick, and here's what we're going to offer you. We're going to say, other than preseason conditioning, you don't have to do any conditioning whatsoever. You just kick balls in practice and show up at the games and kick field goals. And I go, I don't know. And so we went out like on my lunch break, went out to the field at Xavier and kicked a couple balls. They weren't pretty, but like I did it. I was a pretty good punter too. And I ultimately said no. I said I will not join the football team because I wanted to remain the head drummer in the marching band, because that's what my passion was playing drums. Yeah. And I kind of regret it, because if you know the story of Nate Kading, he graduated in 2000 as well. And from what I understand, he had never kicked a ball in his life until his senior year of high school. And then he went, I'm not saying that like would have been better than Nate Kading, but potentially I could have been the guy in the NFL. I might've beat Nate Kading out if I would have just.
In another universe, you are Nate Kading and Nate has a cover band.
And that would be so cool. I bet we would both be happy with that. We'd be like, oh, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's amazing. That's it's pretty easy to fall in love with Iowa. Like it really is. It's so, especially Iowa City. I don't think you're the only one who's experienced the romance of the Melrose scene and walking into Kinnick Stadium for the first time. And it's hard to not be infatuated with that. And then, like, I mean, it's something that I remember, like, it's a visceral memory where I can, like, I still remember walking up the tunnel for my first Iowa Hawkeye game with my best friend.
I can't imagine, man.
Waking up early, driving from Marshalltown, and then going and seeing the game. Like, it's just one of those experiences you don't forget. That's so incredible. So, I know we talked about when you recontacted me, so this was supposed to happen last year. Mike and I got put in touch last year. We're going to get to the Confused Breakfast movie podcast in a second, an iHeart brethren. And then we never got around to it. So Mike recontacted me after the season. He's like, hey, after that bowl game, I'm good. I'm going to take a little break on the Hawks. I think it's good. Everybody takes a little break on the Hawkeyes, but would love to reconnect, get this podcast together. So tell me about this podcast, because now you're not like, me as a podcaster, I introduce myself to somebody I don't know, or I go and I'm with my wife and they're like, oh, what does your husband do? And she's like, she doesn't really know how to answer that question. For you, you have like the added, like, oh, I'm a drummer in a band and a podcast. Like, you know, like the coolest two titles to ever have, right? Like you can't get any better than that. So from what I can tell, Confused Breakfast, which I'm also very curious on the name there as well. I'd love to hear what we got going on. It looks like you guys started like in the year of COVID, like 2020.
It was a total COVID project, man, because I'm a creative guy. Like I got to have creative juices flowing. I got to be playing music. I got to be doing something. And when the band went away, you know, we played maybe 10 shows in 2020 and nothing till the end of the year. We played maybe 10 more, but I had nothing going on in my life that summer. And I was fine. You know, some people were depressed right off the bat in the pandemic. I was fine. I had a great couple, like 2-3 months. It was awesome. But then, man, you got me to about summer and I started getting really depressed and I knew I needed something. I had a podcast that I used to run called the Iowa Music Podcast that was fun. It was super great. It was musicians talking to musicians, but I wanted something that was global, right? I could just meet someone on the street and go, oh, you like movies, so you'll like this podcast. Where if I met someone on the street and I said, well, here's an Iowa music podcast, they're like, I don't care about that. You know, so me and two really good buddies, I pitched them the idea. I said, what if we talked classic movies? What if we took a format of taking a movie you love from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, talking about it nostalgically, like what you remember, how much you loved it as a kid, but then we stripped it away and we went modern day. Let's really talk about how good of a movie this is or how bad of a movie this is. And they were completely on board. It was just a fun project, right? So we started in October of 2020, and you know how it is with podcasting, and that's why it's so important that, and I'm so thankful you have me on the show, is because it's so hard to get people to listen to podcasts. There's probably more podcasts in the world than there are bands. That's how insane this market is. And so, dude, we had like 20 downloads and then we had like 22 downloads on, and we're like 20 episodes in. We're like, I think my mom listened to it twice this week. So I think that was what our bump was. And so finally these moments start happening, like kind of like you had. I started a TikTok very much against my will, but I thought, oh, China's going to have my info and all these kids are going to think I'm an old man, but whatever, I'll start a TikTok. And sure enough, they started blowing up. Like every month or so we get this viral video. And that then landed in the lap of Bert Kreischer. If you know the comedian, the machine, the guy that takes his shirt off, he somehow showed up on his For You page. He loved it. And he talked about us directly on a Two Bears, One Cave podcast episode, one of the most popular podcasts out there. All of a sudden, my phone's just blowing up like messages. Heard you from Bert. Heard you from Two Bears. And people are going, oh, I can't believe Bert. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't understand it. And dude, the impact of that moment was gigantic because it brought this huge wave of listeners. And then that just, we rode that wave, right? Our TikTok started getting crazier. We started having these big viral moments. Then Bert says, hey, come to LA. Actually, let me rephrase that. He goes, if you're ever in LA, let's do a podcast. And I said, bro, I'm always in LA and I'm never, like, I have no reason to ever be in LA. You know, you always say yes to that.
Sure.
So we go there and we filmed a 3.5-hour episode of Bertcast, just talking about movies with Bert Kreischer. And then that was like another wave. And then this realtor in Astoria, Oregon, who loves Bert Kreischer, was about ready to list the Goonies house, Mikey's house from the Goonies. No one had been in that house for 10 years, and he was trying to get creative with his advertising. He goes, oh, these guys love the Goonies. I'll see if they want to be the first people to tour the Goonies house in 10 years. And he said, will you fly out to Astoria? I said, yes, we will. And so we made a video where we hung out in the Goonies house and made funny videos. And then we went to the Field of Dreams house and stayed overnight there last summer. And like, dude, it's just been a wild ride of just being creative and passionate about what we do and knowing that our product's good and knowing that if somebody just gives us a chance, they're going to love it. And so it's been so much fun. I would have quit a long time ago had the popularity not been there because my life's back to normal. I just had a kid as well. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter. I play in the band. Life is crazy, but I still have to find time to like watch these old movies and talk about them. But I love it. I love it so much. It's such a fun project.
That is nuts. That's a nuts story. I wish that our story was the same. We were, I've never like tried to hide this or cover it up. Like as a podcast brand, we are absolutely like the traditional born on third base story. Like podcast, like you said, podcast success is really based on like, can we get a fair amount of people to consistently listen to us? And granted, we had to build the sort of small to medium sized following on social first for people to care and see that, hey, we've got a podcast. And we did that. I think Drake, Kevin, and I all had somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 followers on within the Iowa, you know, Twitter yeah. ecosystem. But like our first episode, 1,200 downloads, you know, like not 20.
That's better than we were, man.
For those who have started a podcast, I have a bunch of friends or people I know who have come to me and been like, hey, I'm doing a podcast. And then like, I know generally the numbers. 1,200 downloads is more total downloads than like 99% of podcasts get. So yes. On our first episode, in the first couple days, it was like, oh shit. And then the next week, it was like 3,300. And then by week three, it was like, we're getting 5,000 downloads an episode. So we were like totally gifted it because of our platform. But the one thing I do hang my hat on, and I know that it has to be true, same for you guys, is if you're not good, people will leave.
You're 100% right. They're gone after two episodes.
If you don't have some kind of quality product or value that you're providing, they're not going to stay. They'll come to see you once, probably same with a band even. People might come see a band play once, but if they're dog shit, they're not coming back. They're not going to pay to see you. So That's what I hang my hat on with the podcast. It's like, well, we just had our 5-year anniversary of the pod and the brand in last October. We're still kicking it. We've grown year over year, every year. So we must be doing something all right. Yes, we were gifted a little bit of a platform in the beginning, but we ran with it and did at least semi-decent with it. So I understand, and probably better than anyone, respect the grind of what you guys have had to do. But your come up sounds a lot more fun and cool. Like, we have not gotten to, we have cool friends. George Kittle, I'm watching him play on the other monitor right here next to me. We got to hang out with him at Tight End U last year, go literally like work out with David Bakhtiari at his home field, his home like compound, the Kittle house and barn, film a podcast with him. So we've done some cool stuff, but that is a wild, like, I don't know how many people listening know Bert. I have 15 podcasts in my library, and Two Bears, One Cave is one of them. So it's, that's crazy that you guys got to go out there and meet, and that you got to have him on the show. That was on my list of things to ask about, like, how the hell did this Bert Kreischer thing happen? But that is
wild, then, man. Then he comes to Cedar Rapids like 6 months later to do stand up. And I was like, there's no way he's going to. I mean, like, I have his phone number, and like every 6 months, I'm like, hey, good to see you, man. Oh, cool. You know, but like, I'm not going to be like assuming he's willing to come on our lowly podcast. But
sure.
He texted me. He's like, I'm going to be in Cedar Rapids. We should do a Confused Breakfast episode. Dude, you're the coolest dude on the planet. What movie you want to talk about? He's like, Caddyshack. I'm like, you got it, dude. So he the day of his show in Cedar Rapids spent 2.5 hours with us talking about Caddyshack and making jokes, and a couple viral TikToks went out about that. We talked about how Judge Smales was actually the good guy in Caddyshack, and we like broke that down and had some laughs. I mean, if anybody out there wants to dip their foot into anything Bert Kreischer, Confused Breakfast, either type in Bert Cast Confused Breakfast or type in Confused Breakfast Caddyshack, and either of those episodes you'll have a blast with. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think anybody, this is I already said it in the beginning, but if you like movies and you would potentially be a person who likes a podcast about movies, I'm pretty sure Mike and the Confused Breakfast podcast is your go-to here. You got to go check them out and download them.
We're Iowa boys. You support us.
Right. Another Iowa podcast. And out of Iowa, I don't know if there's a ton of podcasts that are successful numbers-wise like ours or like yours on a semi like regional or national level that get the kind of numbers. We call them numbies around here.
Yeah,
numbies. Doing numbies. So you know, you got to support. What the name? Where did the name come
from? So we decided, like, okay, so I wanted to call it like Classic Movie Review, and it's like, that's the worst idea. And like,
Washed Up Reviews with Mike.
Yeah, Washed Up Walk On, same thing. You guys could have called it Iowa Hawkeye Sports Talk, and it's like, it wouldn't be the same. And so luckily those dudes, Sean and AJ, my other bros that are on the show, they said, well, why don't we combine our something from our favorite movies together to make a weird, memorable name. So Sean's favorite movie is Dazed and Confused. So there's your Confused. AJ's favorite movie is The Breakfast Club. So there's your Breakfast. And then I'm like, well, what's my favorite movie? And they're like, well, it's got to be something with the in it. So mine changes on a daily basis, but I'll call it The Goonies. I'll say The Goonies today, but it could be The Big Lebowski tomorrow. As long as the's in the title, that's my favorite movie.
Cool. I love it. Grant, I've totally hogged the walk-on side of this conversation. If you have any questions that have come up about anything Mike has said in the last 35 minutes.
No, it's good. I mean, I just like listening to Mike talk. I think he's got a great story. I am curious with Confused Breakfast. When you think about certain movies, what characteristics of a classical movie do you think make it the best reviews? Like when you go back and watch a certain movie, you're like, oh, this is going to like, can you watch something and be like, this would be a really good review, or like, oh, this is going to be a bad review?
Dude, there's twofold, right? Because we're very funny. Like we have a good time with this. So there's two different types of movies. One, the shit of shit, like just Three Ninjas, Blank Check, you know, these 90s movies that are just so bad. But like we loved them as kids, and we ripped. I think Three Ninjas has our lowest rating of any movie we've done modern day, and we ripped that thing apart. But it was fun. It was like, it was so funny just talking shit about it. And I think that's one reason why people listen to us a lot. But then you get into like the more serious stuff, like The Breakfast Club is one of my favorite episodes we did. Dazed and Confused is one of my favorite episodes we did, where we get really deep on it sometimes. Like there's going to be a lot of laughs, but the breakdown of it, of like emotionally what it did to us, and like what they were conveying, and these secret hidden messages of childhood, and like, you know, high school movies and college movies, like do something weird to me. They give me this weird, it's like talking about Iowa City and thinking about my time there. Think remembering high school and college, like we just did Road Trip. Remember that movie from 2000? It's like, it's not a great movie, but something about that atmosphere that the movie provides that like gives me the warm fuzzies. So whether we're getting really deep and emotional about it or ripping it apart, I think those are the two different like characteristics that make the best movie review.
Okay. And then I'm curious as well. So when I think like classical movies too, sometimes my view of them is very different. Like I remember the first time me and all my friends watched Monty Python. Like, yeah. I thought it was the funniest movie in the world, but everyone was looking at me like I was some idiot and they wanted to turn it off right away. So is there a classical movie out there that, and like you say, like classical, like it's like it can still be 2002, that you really like that no one else does and you don't understand why?
Oh, man, that's tough. Like, because, and then it's a whole nother question of like some movies that were made in the 70s, 80s, like, we couldn't make them again today. You know, like there's a lot of questionable material, times have changed, but like we don't dive deep into that. We don't ever say like, oh, they used this word and they shouldn't have said that in the 80s. It's like, no, they said that in the 80s and it's fine. Like it's good that we've moved on from it, but also like we can still watch the movie. But oh man, like movie that I love that people don't necessarily love. That's tough, dude. I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of the Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
Like we're talking sports movies. I'm not gonna mm-hmm. add it in our list today, but and I can admit that it was a terrible modern day rewatch is a terrible movie, but sometimes it's hard to strip away nostalgia. Like it's hard to strip away the vibes that it gave you as a child. And that's one of those movies where I can't do it, man.
Actually, as you're talking, Mike, just remembered a sports movie that is going in my top. I've got to kick something up.
You can't change your list. No.
I'm changing. Okay. I'll add it to my honorable mentions because I put down two honorable mentions. Now I'm going to have three. Okay. Before we get into our top five movies, and Mike and us, we talked this over. It's going to go the same as our previous walk-on top fives. We'll start at five. We'll round table it, and then we'll go down from there. If somebody has a repeat, we'll call it once it first comes up. But my question before we get to it is, does Sergeant Meowenstein have a favorite movie that he likes to sit and watch with you?
He's a big fan of Hocus Pocus, Black Cat and Hocus Pocus. He's a big fan of Binks. I almost called him Binks. I thought I was being original again. Like, oh, nobody's going to call their Black Cat Binks. And yeah, no, everyone called their Black Cat Binks. Yeah,
I'm a huge cat guy. Huge cat guy.
Are you?
Seeing a ton of Instagram pictures of your cat was great in the very small amount of research and prep I did for this podcast today.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Absolutely.
You just had your first child?
Yeah.
And you've had cats before this?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think your cats prepared you for wanting to have kids and loving kids?
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Me neither, man.
I don't currently have any cats, and it's not okay. That's not on me. That's my wife. Wife is not a cat person or really a pet person at all. But no, I mean, they just take care of themselves so well. Right. Yep. And they like, even the best, most lovable cats need like 18 hours of sleep and another 4 hours of, I'm going to lay in the bed or in their favorite spot. And then there's like maybe 2 hours of like, I'll lay with you. So they're just like, so maybe why I like them. Cause I'm a very loner person as well. I work from home all day in this office and I don't see people like the grocery store on Mondays. Tomorrow's my big day. I get to get out of the house.
Oh, so, big day, dude.
Yeah. Huge. So no, probably didn't prepare me that great for having a kid. But maybe in some very small way, like a little bit of responsibility, right? Like you have to take care of them. There's some chores around them. But I just loved seeing the cat on your Instagram. You don't hide him at all. There's a ton of posts about him.
He was my buddy. Like my wife and I were very, we're not going to have kids. We were just like, that's not for us. We're going to travel the world and kid, no way on kids. And then that changed and we decided, yeah, maybe we should. And my life is so much better for now having my daughter. But at the same time, I think having my cat as my child for a little bit there, I think that really helped me honestly get ready for being a dad. I really think it did, man.
I think for certain people, like maybe, you know, getting a dog first as a couple may be like a good experiment as in your relationship.
Yeah.
Just to see like how, that kind of thing. Okay. Grant, are you prepared with your top five? I know Mike is obviously.
Yes, I do have a top five. I do have a request though. Can we also save a portion for honorable mentions? Because I really struggled making this top five. Like I hate my list because there's so many sports movies that I really like and I can't put all of them obviously in the top five. So
yeah. So I have five and then three honorable mentions. And I'm a little nervous and embarrassed because like I said, Mike, I'm not a movie guy. I'm not.
He's seen four movies ever.
That's not true. I've seen more than four movies.
Okay, five.
But like, I'm not a movie guy. I'm more of like a YouTube guy, right? So.
But you're a sports guy though.
I'm a sports guy. I've seen some sports movies, but not nearly as many as someone who should be doing a top five list. So I might get crucified here. I might be showing my ass a little bit, but I'm excited to do it. So let's start off. I will start. Mike, you can be last since you're the guest. At number five.
You want to do honorables first?
We can do honorable mentions first if you
want. Yeah. Okay. Let's do those first. Give me them all.
My three honorable mentions, not all comedies, two comedies. Dodgeball, Waterboy, and then Sandlot. Sandlot's the one I just thought of as you were talking. And it should be in my top five because truly that is probably one of my top five. But I'll go with the other top five. So Dodgeball, Waterboy, and Sandlot. As a joke, I honestly thought about putting High School Musical in there as well. as a basketball. Little Troy Bolton. But no, that's those three are on my honorable mention. Grant?
I had a bunch on my honorable mention. Like for some reason, Rocky IV, I just really like it. It's not a very good movie, but like I just love the patriotism and all that going on. I almost tried to mix like Uncut Gems in there. I was like, is this really a sports movie? I don't think it is very much, but I didn't put it on there. Or like Air, I just saw over the summer, really liked it. Warrior too. I don't think it gets enough love, but Warrior's an unbelievable UFC movie. And then like I like a bunch of other movies too, like Creed, and then I had The Blind Side on there. It's like his soft spot for me. I had a friend who literally he lived The Blind Side, but it was like Colorado version. Like he had like a huge kid. like basically adopted him for like 3 years. Then I don't know what he does now, but
wow.
I was like reliving The Blind Side. It was like a part of my life when I was growing up, but
that's hilarious.
And then kind of weird one in my honorable mentions too, Nacho Libre.
Okay. That counts. No, that counts for sure.
I don't know if that's where I have a lot of these. I'm like, does it count? I don't know. But yeah. I think if I say it counts, Nacho Libre can count.
Okay.
And also, I don't know where is Moneyball a sports movie or a business movie?
Oh, yeah.
That's on my list.
Okay.
I'd leave it at that. I'd say it definitely is.
Okay.
Any honorable mentions for you, Mike?
Yeah, I got a couple. And first, I want to say, like, the reason that sports movies, I think, are some of the best movies of all time is because sports are so relatable. And we all know what sports can do in real life. And these don't seem far-fetched, these like miracle stories, like, because we've seen it. We've experienced it in real life. And I think sports is the true only reality television that is out there. And that's why I think the movies resonate so much. So my honorable mentions are more of the less traditional sports. I mean, Big Lebowski's a bowling movie. So I'm putting that on there. Cool Runnings is a bobsled movie. I'm putting that on there. Karate Kid, big fan of Karate Kid. And now this is going to hurt some people's feelings, but I'm going to put Field of Dreams in my honorable mentions. And the reason, because I don't feel like Field of Dreams is as much of a baseball movie as we think it is. Watch our episode on Field of Dreams where we stayed in the house. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, but I don't consider it a sports movie as much as some people do. So it's honorables only. Caddyshack, best golf movie ever made. And then if you're a soccer fan, Green Street Hooligans with Elijah Wood is one of the greatest soccer movies of all time. I'm going to put that in my honorables.
Okay. Wow. There we go.
Cool. All number five.
At five. God, I just feel like I'm going to get crucified. Radio.
Oh.
This was like maybe the first movie I remember crying. And I was young. Like I was a kid and I felt like real emotion. I'm not really a big emotion guy either. And like I felt for Radio in this movie. And I remember distinctively sitting there with my mom and watching Radio and with my brothers, like in our living room in the house I grew up in. And I was just like, man, like that's like maybe one of the first movies I can remember that wasn't just like, oh, it's fun. We're watching a movie. It was like, oh, there's like some deeper meaning to this. Like there's like a legitimate lesson going on here. So Radio is one of those for me. And that's at five for me.
Great pick.
Grant, you want to go next?
Okay. Yeah. My number five, I don't know. Like this movie, it's not winning best. It didn't win best picture. Never even got close, but I still like it. Space Jam.
Space Jam.
The music, I could sit around all day. Every time the tournament comes on, I get got in my head a little bit. It's like, come on and slam and welcome to the jam. A little bit going in my head. I just love it. This movie, I think I saw it about 40 times a year between the ages of like six to right now. And everything about it is awesome. The Michael's magic stuff, just Bill Murray showing up in it too. Like everything's great about it. The Monstars, awesome. You just, and also every like basketball star is in this movie too. It's so good. I love it. It used to be on like Cartoon Network. I remember too, like every Friday night, they're like without fail, Space Jam is going to be on. That is my number five. It's going to be Space Jam.
We haven't gotten to Space Jam yet, but we will definitely review that movie at some point coming up here. It's going to be great. My number five. I'm a big hockey fan, as you know. My number five is Slapshot from 1977. If you've never seen Slapshot, widely regarded as one of the greatest hockey sports movies of all time. It's this lowly second division team is looking, they're not good. There's the attendance is bad. They find out the team's going to get sold and moved out of town. So they do what they can to get people in the stands. And that is increase the violence, increase the fighting on the ice. It's one of my all time favorite movies. Paul Newman is the player coach, the iconic Hansen brothers. Pretty sure that it's the first boobies I ever saw in a movie. Funny story. That is Melinda Dillon, the mom from A Christmas Story. Those are her boobies in that movie. So
and warm that's vibe. That for a young boy. Mm-hmm. That's a big moment.
Oh yeah.
It's a huge moment. It's just
everyone knows where they were.
Yep. And it just focuses on the idea of like when to hang it up as an athlete. Like, I think that's a great underlying tone of this movie. And if you've never seen it, hit play someday. It's a great movie.
Love it. Number four for me is this is not, it's not fun because Grant already said it, but it's Space Jam. So we'll just, we'll pass it. I echo a lot of the same stuff. I watched it so many times. I'm pretty sure at one point I did put a piece of athletic tape on my water bottle and label it Tyler Secret Stuff. It was great. Monstars, they're like, you know, perfect villain of the movie. It was awesome. So that's my four.
Okay. My four is going to be Talladega Nights.
Ooh.
And I don't know how like creative of a pick this is. I feel like everyone likes this movie, so I don't think it's like any like, oh, Grant was really thinking there. But I had to pick someone between like Dodgeball, Talladega Nights, even Kicking and Screaming. I like that movie.
Kicking and Screaming. Wow. He's a coach of a
soccer team that's addicted to coffee, and they got like Italian kids coming out of a meat truck. Like, I love Kicking and Screaming. but Talladega Nights is something special. It's so quotable too. And this is the thing with like all these Will Ferrell movies too, is the sometimes the best part of them is just talking about them, like on a podcast like this. It's the best. Like I'll be quoting Shake and Bake for the rest of my life now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Talladega Nights is going to be my four in that spot.
Can I offer a suggestion to you if you've never seen it before? Have you seen Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise?
I don't think I have. No.
Hit play on it the next time. It's a NASCAR movie with Tom Cruise. John C. Reilly is actually in that movie as well. So I have a theory that it's the same person, that he was young and coming up the ranks before he got into Talladega Nights. Days of Thunder is an awesome movie, but that's not my number four. My number four is actually Rocky One. And I'm embarrassed to say that I had actually never seen Rocky One until we covered it on the podcast. I was a Rocky 3-4 guy. That's all I knew of the franchise, the over-the-top montages and the fight scenes and the patriotism. But when I watched Rocky One, it blew me away because it was nothing like the rest of them. It's a sad story. No one's likable in this movie. Like, I don't want it to be a perfect story sometimes with a bow on top. He doesn't even win the fight. And like, that's what's so great. Spoilers. That's what's so great about that movie is that it's like real life. Like, nobody's perfect. Sometimes it doesn't work out. It's an hour and 45 minutes before the actual boxing starts. And like, if you would have told me that 20 years ago, I would have said, I'm not watching that movie, but I love Rocky One. It's my favorite of all of them for sure.
So when you're watching Rocky One and you started with Rocky Four, was it weird to go from, cause in Rocky Four, he's the man, like he's got Lamborghinis and stuff. Like he's on top of the world. Is it weird to go like, oh shoot, he was actually like bottom of the barrel? Like, is it weird to watch that like story going backwards?
Totally. He was a bum. And like Mick didn't even want him. And it was like, Adrian looks weird. Like, it was just it was a cool way to go back in time. But I think it almost made it better for me because it's a really great story. And it's it's well shot. It's an awesome movie.
Yeah. It's a good movie also on my list. So I don't
feel we're ruining it.
No. I feel validated here. And again, it's been a long time since I've seen these, so hearing other people talk about them is going to be a much better breakdown of why it's on the list than what I would give. Number three for me, we're on three, right, is Moneyball, previous aforementioned. Like Grant said, sort of a mix of a business sports movie. This is for like every sports, what's it called? The sports business major at Iowa. There's like it's what my brother took as his major. This is like perfect for them. I just love Brad Pitt. Any movie that I'm like your general like sucker, like if it's Matt Damon or Brad Pitt or Mark Wahlberg, like give me them in anything. I don't care. I don't even care if it sucks. I'll just watch them because I like that kind of actor, I guess. Moneyball was good. It's not a comedy like some of the other ones on this list are. It's more of like a legit like, oh, this has got some substance to it. And I think generally revered as a good movie, not just a good sports movie, but a good movie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Tyler, have you seen, if you're a Brad Pitt fan, have you seen, the newest Tarantino movie? Oh, God. Like my brain. Oh, I've had a freaking day.
I know what it is too, but I can't think of it.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but it's on the list of movies I'd like to see along with.
It's maybe one of my favorite Tarantino movies. Brad Pitt's like the top of his game in that. And by the way, if you haven't seen Oppenheimer yet, you got to go see Oppenheimer.
We were just talking about that. Those two movies are on top of like the very long list of like movies I'd like to watch, but I have a kid and two jobs, and like I don't make time for them. Right, so it's like
make time for Brad Pitt and Matt Dillon. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Moneyball too. What Moneyball is one of my favorite lines in movie history is in the first board meeting they're having where they're picking players and stuff. They bring up some like second baseman or whatever, and he gets immediately written away because they're like, oh, he has an ugly girlfriend. He's got no confidence. We can't pick him. can't take him.
Were they right? I can't remember. Were they right about that?
I can't remember who it was, but I remember being like, thinking it was the funniest thing in the world. I was like, oh,
that's pretty good.
No,
that's
pretty good. No confidence.
What's your three, Grant?
My three is, and I feel like I reference this movie all the time on the show, The Karate Kid. Classic. I love this movie. Just like everything from like Ralph Macchio is just the absolute man. I mean, like that crane kick to the face is maybe in the top five coolest things a human can do. Yeah, snap like that on there. And plus two, I'm a big How I Met Your Mother fan. And there's like a whole season of just mixing in the Karate Kid characters for no reason into the show. So it works in perfectly. And then when I was watching that show, maybe revisit The Karate Kid, I was like, this movie still rules. It's awesome.
Love it.
But yeah, everything about it is great. And it's weird too, because I really, really dislike the new Karate Kid with Jaden Smith in it.
No, that's not like weird at all. That's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah,
a similar story. I totally don't like it at all. Like, I remember being like, how did they get so close but so far away from this great product? I don't know what happened. But yeah, and then also I didn't see the full thing, but the show they're doing
Cobra Kai,
where the roles are kind of flipped.
Dude,
it's like a little bit of a reverse.
It's go back and like binge it, because Cobra Kai is one of the greatest modern day television series ever, because it really does. Because if you rewatch Karate Kid, Daniel LaRusso is kind of the bad guy in that. Like, Johnny didn't do anything wrong. He had a girlfriend that this guy was like coming in on, and like, he's trying to train to be this guy, this big fighter. And Daniel's like, oh, look at me. So Cobra Kai does a really good job of like playing that reversal role out for sure.
Well, that's funny, because when I was mentioning there's a whole season of How I Met Your Mother that's basically intruded by Karate Kid. The premise of it is that one of the characters is convinced that Billy Zabka is actually the good guy in Karate Kid. And he's like, wow, what a tragic story of this hero being knocked out after completing a perfect move and sweeping the leg.
An illegal kick, man, to the face.
Yeah. And I don't know if everyone else does too, but I reference this movie all the time. It's like, sweep the leg and like, you know, wax on, wax off.
You actually do a lot. And I haven't really noticed until you mentioning it now. So this is good. This is
And also I started doing karate when I was little because of this. And
love that.
I told my parents, I was like, yeah, I think I want to be I would love to be a karate instructor when I was little. My parents were like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And they were probably what have we done to this kid?
That's so funny.
We failed. We failed. Sorry.
Unreal. My number
I'm still three.
Oh, yeah.
My three is Miracle from 2004, about the 1980. The reason that this is so good is that this is, in my opinion, the greatest sports story in history. I don't think that there's a better sports story than the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team defeating the greatest team to ever play hockey in history. The timing of it, what was going on in the world, the way they did it, the fact that it wasn't even the gold medal game that they won. Like, so many people remember, like, oh, they beat the Russians to win the gold. No, they still had to play another game. And to be able to get up for that next game – they made a movie out of this and they did it complete justice. Kurt Russell solidified himself as one of the greatest actors of all time. I love Miracle. It's one of the best.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I don't have much else to say. You kind of killed it there. It's a great movie. Probably should be on mine, but it's probably just I've never been a hockey guy in general.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're still the hockey guy out there slamming people into the boards.
Beer League hockey, man. I haven't even showered yet. I'd had to get to this podcast.
Love it. Number two for me. Pretty Simple speaks for itself, pretty much every football player out there probably has this one on there. It's just remember the Titans. It's just,
yep.
Yeah, it's just the easy pick. Probably the one that I've watched the most, and maybe between the first one for me and this one. You know, it's remember the Titans. Like, everybody's seen it. It's probably it's got to be one of the most universal sports movies out there that, like, you got to watch Remember the Titans. Very quotable as well, too. There's some quotable lines in this one. And it's just like, if you're a kid and you play football and you want to get hyped up, there's some scenes in this movie where it's like, yeah, man, I'm a football player. Like, this is what it's all about. I love it.
Good pick.
Grant?
Okay. We did just talk about it, but my number two is also Miracle. Unbelievable movie. It's just, I couldn't make a list without Miracle. I feel like, too, that the just that kind of messaging stuff of this movie, I feel like it applies to every single sport. Anytime Iowa plays someone as an underdog, I tweet out the speech every single time.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just like, they might beat us 9 times out of 10, but not this time, boys. All right. Or just not even tonight. I love all this stuff, too. Just the scene where they're doing the laps after the game, like, again. Who do you play for? The United States of America. Like, just, it gets me going, man. It gets me so hyped. I'm like, yeah, man, boys, let's go. Come on.
It's the hype factor.
Sorry. But watching this movie, too, as a my brother played hockey growing up as well. Mm. I never played, but I was around hockey a lot. Yeah. And it was funny. Like, he's playing for these Russian coaches and stuff. And then when you're watching the scene where it's like, oh, he's sprinting them nonstop, it's like, oh, it's played up for theatrics. That's just like a lot of like hockey culture. Like, I saw that scene in person like four days a week in hockey and like taking place on my brother's hockey team. So it was kind of cool. Like, watching it like before being involved with hockey and then after being involved with hockey was pretty cool. Timeless, great story. And I think it's a little bit of that Rocky IV too, where it's like, is this winning best picture? No, but it's like, I think it's going to be fired up. Like, we just defeated the Soviets and communism at the same time.
It's a hype. Yeah. It's a hype.
Like, let's go, boys. Yeah. Come on.
You feel American.
Think about the history of that, though, too. Do you know that game wasn't even televised? Like, people didn't even watch it. And the only people that saw that game happen were the people in the stadium. Because everybody was like, dude, they're going to lose. Like, we're not putting it on television. We're not going to do anything. So word, and this is pre-internet, word spreads. Like, no one knows about it till the next morning. They're like reading the newspaper like, what? USA beat Russia? Like, so that's what's so wild to me is just think of the differing time of when that actually happened. It's nuts.
That is crazy. What's your two, Mike?
All right. My number two. So I think some of the greatest sports movies ever made are high school football movies. You said it, Remember the Titans, Varsity Blues. But my absolute favorite high school movie is Friday Night Lights, 2004.
Great one.
I'm wondering, is that on anybody's list? It might be number one.
No, it's not. And it's because I think when I was determining between the two, I just decided to pick one of them and kind of place it in that spot. And for me, it was Remember the Titans. But it's a great pick.
I don't know what it is about this movie. I saw this while I was in college, 2004. Billy Bob was Thornton was incredible. The Booby Miles story arc. I mean, it's a true story, I think, from what I remember. But again, the fact that they didn't win. Too often in sports movies, like, the good guys always win, and that's not how real life works. Like, they bring you up on this. Oh my God, they're gonna do. Oh shit, they didn't win. What the hell? And I'm a music guy, so that soundtrack is all made by a band called Explosions in the Sky. Like, one of the most unbelievable emotional soundtracks to a high school football movie that was ever made. That song at the end, Refused, the new noise, but Can I Scream, when they're the kickoff in the final game. I mean, I love that movie. I'll watch that any day.
It's funny. I don't even think about soundtracks usually, but as a music guy, it probably is a huge part to it. Great movie. Great movie. So that was all twos, right? So we're to
one. Down to number one.
This, again, a little anticlimactic, but the first Rocky, it's really hard to beat. Like, Rocky One is just like all time. It's again, it's like that underdog story, and I just think, like, the figure of Rocky Balboa is just the stairs. It's just like everyone's done the stairs somewhere, you know, like, and all that. It's just it's. As and for me, it's as a guy who loves, like, training and, like, exercise. Yep. There's that piece to it because that's what boxers do, is a lot of it's just like in the gym. And so I don't know. I resonate with that. Cool movie. I love his accent. I love the, from afar, I love the, hitting people in the face, not like Drake. I don't like actually to do it, but I like the idea of like combat, and it's a very manly thing. So yeah, I love Rocky One. It's a great movie. Hard to pick out of all the Rockies because there's several good ones, but again, kind of chose that one. Sure. At some point you got to give it up.
You can at least agree that it's not Rocky Five.
It's not Rocky Five. No. Grant, your one.
Yeah, my one. And then this is not my one, but I didn't say it in honorable mentions. So this is like okay. The time I'm going to fill in it. Happy Gilmore.
Just yeah, I thought about that too.
Great all-time movie. But no, my number one is going to be Field of Dreams. And I it's just – so first of all, I'm a huge Ray Liotta fan. So just everything he's in, I just immediately love. Like Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies ever. But this is just like everything that's like heartwarming about sports, I feel like, is in this movie. There's just so many emotional great moments. I feel like baseball too. I don't know why like all the baseball movies seem to have like the most like emotional stories, but I just get agreed. It's just what happens. I don't know if it's because like they saw Field of Dreams. They're like, well, this is like the route we're going to do now. But that's how I feel about it. Also, just kind of a point I wanted to bring up if we're talking Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner is just in every sports movie ever.
Yeah, he seems like it.
He's just in all
it
of
does
them.
Seem like it.
And I think he does a great job with all of them. But yeah, Field of Dreams, it's iconic. It's got its own game now in the MLB, which I love.
That is cool.
I don't know how you get tickets to go to it. I think it's like a lottery system. I would love to go experience it. I've now lived in Iowa for 3 years and I've never actually made it out to the field, but I'd love to go see it sometime. Field of Dreams. It's going to be my number one.
It's good.
So I'll go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say, Mike, round us out. Bring us home here.
Well, I was going to follow up on Field of Dreams real quick. We actually performed we played the Cincinnati Reds VIP tent a couple years ago at the Field of Dreams game. And wild experience, right? But then to be able to stay overnight in that house, like, first of all, it's free. Go drive up to Dyersville, walk the field, play on it. Like, it's all free. We stayed overnight in the house, made a video. It's on YouTube. But the Field of Dreams, I don't know if I've cried harder in a movie recently when I watched that for our podcast. But now being a dad, the story of him finally getting that catch with his dad, like, that's one of the greatest things. And it's filmed in Iowa. It's about Iowa. You cannot beat it. But I left it off so that you could have it as your number one. My number one is another, again, baseball movies that make me emotional. It's The Sandlot. And I know what you're thinking, like, oh, The Sandlot, whatever. But when we did our podcast episode on The Sandlot, we got so deep on this movie. And I think it's a story about father and son relationships. It's about following your dreams. It's about it's baseball is the vessel, right? But Sandlot captures it captures magic. The 4th of July scene is the greatest 4th of July scene in the history of film. The larger than life eyes on the kids of how their problems are bigger than they should be, obsessing over something that you fall in love with. The idea, this is where it kills me. The idea that one day you and all your friends went outside to play for the very last time without knowing that it was the last time. And that's what The Sandlot encompasses for me. And like, I loved that movie so much when we rewatched it, and it's the best, man. That's my number one.
Yeah. The thing that sticks with me from The Sandlot is at the end when they show the picture of them, or they're actually showing I think it's them playing their last time or whatever. And then they're sort of cutting into where they end up in life.
Yep.
And I'm getting goosebumps as I talk about it right now. Wasn't a huge baseball guy, only played till like seventh grade, but the story of Benny the Jet becoming the big leaguer was like, as a sports kid, you're like, that's me. I'm Benny. Like, I'm going to be the, I'm going to be the pro. Like, I'm the one who goes out from the hometown and becomes the pro athlete. And it's like that really resonated with me as a kid. I'll never forget that. And, what's his face? Squints. Stealing the kiss at the pool is legendary as well.
Mandy Peppercorn, man.
Yeah, she's hot.
Well, that's what's awesome too with Sandlot is like, I saw for the first time when I was like 8 years old, right?
Yeah.
And you leave that movie, you're like, oh, well, like me and my boys right now, we are the Sandlot.
Right.
And this is awesome. Like, we're doing the same thing. Like, this is great. Yeah.
That's an incredible place to leave it off. It popped into my head, like I said, when you were talking. It just was like, oh man, I forgot the Sandlot. Pork Tornadoes, Confused Breakfast, Mike Schulte, you're doing it all. And you're a dad. It's crazy. You're living life. It's wild. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me. Keep going. I can't reiterate it enough that anybody listening, how important it is for them. If you love this show, Washed Up Walk-Ons, to share it and to tell your friends about it. If you have Hawkeye buddies, be like, dude, you got to listen to Washed Up Walk-Ons. Like, it's the most important thing you can possibly do to help this show out. And it's the same, like, consider giving Confused Breakfast a listen. Consider checking out Pork Tornadoes on YouTube. Like, it means a lot to us Iowa boys, and I just think it's amazing. And I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you had me on. It was a great time.
It was an hour and 10 minutes that I thoroughly enjoyed. Probably could do it again sometime, because I'm sure there's other movies that we could go over. San Francisco just scored. It's becoming a ball game over here on the side. It is now, there's a flag. I don't know. 24-17. It's about to be. Lions got out in front heavy, but the 49ers are going to make a little comeback. Oh, my God. The play was amazing. They didn't score, but the play was insane. Grant, you're going to shit your pants when you see it. Thank you guys for coming to the podcast, listening to this show. Again, check out the podcast, Confused Breakfast. Check out the Pork Tornadoes if you ever get a chance. We'll be back on Thursday. Unless you're on the Patreon to talk about Tim Lester and the OC job and the drama around that came out this Sunday. As always, we'll see you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.